Hello, good evening. It is July 16th, 2024, first podcast of the 2024 year. Gonna try to do weekly ones, maybe, just about my week or my day, and things that come up that I want to mention. Today in White Salmon, it's very snowy and icy. Oh yeah, my name's Roberta Grant, and this is the Nervous System, Human Nervous System Podcast, and I'm based out of White Salmon, Washington. Anyway, I decided yesterday and today for my physical activity, which every day I try to find a physical activity, put on my tele-ski skins and skinned up the road near in my neighborhood where there's a beautiful view. I did that in between appointments. I had 7 therapy appointments. I'm a therapist, that mental health therapist, that's my job. So I did that for my exercise break up a hill and down the hill, and it was amazingly beautiful in this area when it's covered in snow. And I spent that time, I've been trying to do more mindful walks, mindful movement type things, because last night, I had quite an emotional evening with my family, got in a fight with my husband and son, have a teenage son, and sometimes I think, you know, he can be pretty sassy, and I can take it pretty personal, and I'm also a menopausal mother, so you know how that goes. He's going into puberty, I'm going out of puberty, so. Yeah, and I just blew up and threw my phone, and I was like, and I'd had a great day. So that was last night. This morning I woke up feeling ashamed of that. And just struggling. It just seems like it's a struggle sometimes for some reason. I've heard there's a thing with moms and teenage sons. So they struggle. Anyway, went on a walk to just get my exercise, but also, like, put my head in a different space. And luckily this evening my son is, like, wanted me to massage his feet after a long day of skiing, so I guess he still likes me. But I kept my distance and haven't really talked much to him. He doesn't like it when I ask questions, so, you know. I get a 5-question-a-day quota from him. Too many questions. Anyway, so on that note, I had a mindfulness walk today. It was beautiful. And I also had some really great clients today. And felt complete in my work, which I don't always. Sometimes I feel, you know, just drained or depressed, or I wouldn't say depressed, but brought down a little bit sometimes. But today I actually feel pretty uplifted from my work today. And I wanted to talk about this book that I found a couple years ago called Awakening from the Daydream by David Nickturn. It's reimagining the Buddha's Wheel of Life. So it's kind of I wouldn't say I'm a Buddhist, but I've definitely leaned into Buddhist beliefs and practices to just psychological concepts of non-attachment and things like that. So the Wheel of Life is a particular type of, what do you call it? I am not a Buddhist, so I am gonna be super tricky with how I describe it. It's a representative of real cosmetology of real cosmology, wherein the 6 realms are actual. There's 6 realms: the God realm, the jealous God realm, the human realm, the animal realm, and the hungry ghost realm, and the hell realm. And the Wheel of Life is probably one of many readings and ideas in Buddhism that are super complex. But this guy, David Nickturn, does a great job of explaining all these realms. Okay, so each chapter he has, for instance, he describes the realm. Then he describes the mindset. Then he describes the problem, the opportunity, in the practice, which is different for each realm. And you can imagine the God realm. Our people are probably living it up, doing well, and everybody's jealous of them. The jealous God realm are the people who are close to almost living it up, but they're jealous and competitive and trying really hard to get there and thriving. The realm under that is the human realm, which is the middle realm, which is basically all the issues of being human and living day to day, but also being a human being. This is a short description. Animal realm is a realm of ignorance. It's not quite as insightful as the human realm. There's the hungry ghost realm, which is the realm underneath the animal realm that is the realm of grasping. A lot of people with addictions, and I would say homeless, probably live in this one because it's dark, desperate, not a lot of your needs are met, and you're kind of in this nebulous, scary place. And then there's the hell realm, which is just constant. I would think the psychological state for that one is PTSD. So these are all realms that humans move through. I think some people move through certain ones more than others. I'm just going to talk about maybe the human realm. I'll just read a little bit about it. We live in traditional imagery of the human realm. We are born, we die, we study, we work, and have families. This may all seem ordinary and run-of-the-mill, but the human realm is actually quite poignant and filled with passion. Yeah. So, it may not be as exciting as the God realm, but it's how we live life. I kind of like this one, because I'm not super rich, and I kind of live here anyway. We experience birth, the joys and sorrows of youth, and ultimately old age, sickness, and death. Both pleasure and pain, and all those things. So it goes to continue to describe. So the mindset would be the most transparent, undetectable of all the realms. To become aware of our human realm perspective is like a fish trying to see the water in which it swims. Because the experience of the human realm alternates so frequently between pleasure and pain, we constantly look for what is past, plan for what may come, worry about how things will go, and aspire to change ourselves and explore new options. A lot of just not living in the moment, sounds like. being busy humans, the problem. We have tremendous opportunity to learn and grow here. But if we spend much of our time stuck on the treadmill of life trying to get by, just make it through another day to make it to retirement. The drum of the human realm comes from the fact that the potential for enlightenment exists side by side with the comfort of life and samsara. We are attracted to the idea of just managing our apparent reality without ever penetrating through the realization of our full individual potential. In the midst of our passions, our joys, suffering, we receive invitation after invitation to wake up, to open our hearts fully to ourselves, and to contribute to our fellow creatures. So, human realm has the most contrast, the most opportunity, and the most insidious, subtle obstacle of all. The opportunity. Sorry. Life in the human realm has the most... So that was the problem that was mentioned. So, about the human realm. Here's the opportunity that we can learn from the human realm. It gives most potential for complete awakening. Human realm experience of empathy gives us a great opportunity to develop limitless kindness, compassion, and wisdom. And to fully experience life. And so this state of mind, the practice is mindfulness meditation of all things, which is hugely popular, right, with most people. And it describes how to mindfully meditate and the core practices of that, your breath, find a good seat, label thoughts as thinking, and goes on about that. And then the chapter ends. So then it goes into the animal realm. So I'm kind of briefly going through this book. There's way more to it, but I really like how he talks about. First of all, I love the idea of the human realm, and I think that one is one that I try with my routines. In my last podcast, I talked about routines a lot, and celebrating what it means to be human and ordinary and mediocre and average as a person. That is the human realm. There's nothing exceptional. There's nothing exciting. It's just existing. And sometimes that's a nice moderate state to be in that I really can appreciate, because being a as they call it, householder Buddhist, which I'm not, but I'm a parent, I have a job, I have a son, you know, practicing Buddhist concepts such as non-attachment, mindfulness, and I feel like there's a few. I was reading about Buddhism before I had my kid, and then I just never really got back into it. But I feel like some of those things stuck with me over the years, and maybe that's why I relate to this so much. But yeah, so I like the opportunity in the human realm, because when people experience suffering or they live life and have life experience, they do learn compassion and empathy and kindness and wisdom. And to me, those are some super important life values to get from living. Because if you can't do those things, I don't know what else are we here for except to be here to be part of the human experience with others and being compassionate with others. And, you know, on another subject, the era we have been in is not such a great one for that. A lot of lack of trust, a lot of lack of, a lot of because of, you know, I'd say because of the internet, right? We're all more connected. The one good thing I feel has been happening is, this sounds kind of bad, but a cynicism and distrust of the system and authority seems to have returned. There used to be more optimism, like kind of, I guess you can go either way with this, but I have this thematic sense that the era we're in now and going into this year has like this kind of realistic optimism. Like it's not naive anymore. We're not naive about technology anymore. We're definitely distrustful of people who make a lot of money off of us. Definitely distrustful of propaganda and what we're being told. And that goes for all political parties. distrustful of authority. So it'll be a very interesting year to see, you know, how things go. And I think that we're in a. It's to me, I'd rather be a realistic, resilient, optimist, cynic than a naive optimist and be surprised. So, anyway, that's just my bit about the times. What else? Yeah, I just try to keep those values more and more of maybe would maybe help for helpful for me is to just read through this book occasionally and remind myself of things out there. So, anyway, I guess I don't have much else to say. I'm gonna sign out and probably try to have another one of these next week. Have a good night. Bye. I wanted to add also that as I went ski skinning today, I went out to my car in the brisk morning air, grabbed my skins, and opened my van, grabbed my skis out of the van, put the skins on. It was cold and brisk. I'd already sent my son off to go skiing for the day because he had no school. And he kind of just muttered at me this morning and was like, okay, hey, mom. But didn't really seemingly want to talk, and I didn't either. We had a fight last night. And so, I put on my skins and began moving up the hill and just feeling into this moment and into my movement, one leg forward and the other one forward. And I've been struggling with my life and finding meaning and being in the moment and just trying to appreciate the things I have and the things I've created. And I sometimes feel that I'm overthinking, and I need to simplify my thinking. I need to simplify and my focus. I need to just be with the snow and the birds and whatever I'm going by. It's such an amazing, beautiful place. I mean, the snow's glistening. I can feel myself sweating, the exercise, my legs burning. It's so good for me to just move and I reflect back onto my life all the time, constantly, because that's what I do for a living. And I choose to tell myself, you know, Bert, you got to stop doing that. It's great to reflect on your life, but not on the things that you didn't have or the people that are not there anymore or wishing for something else. And that's pretty typical of me, to find what I'm lacking instead of what I have. And I think I'm learning that that kind of thing isn't helpful. And so I find myself, after looking down on the ground, looking up at the trees and their branches pointing in all these directions, reflecting all the directions and possibilities of my life and where it could go. And I remember as a kid, I started doing that as a teenager, about the age my son was a teenager. And he's becoming his own person. He's becoming an own man. And there will be empty nest, and there will be lonely days when he's not around. And I will have to find meaning in other ways. And motherhood will be the motherhood of a young adult, which is different than the mother of a kid. And finding meaning in that. And choosing to not focus on the grief of that, because, but also not ignoring it, is a challenge. And so I look up into the trees and the branches and I think, I'm going to get to the top of this hill. And I also see all the possibilities in my life. And I'm going to feel how great this feels, this workout and exercise on my skis, which I love skiing. And even if it's just on the freaking concrete with skins, I don't care. And I'm going to learn to appreciate things in this way. So I got to the top of the hill and I knew I had an appointment I had to make back for. And I turned around, went back down the hill in a different mindset and left all that stuff behind at the top of the hill at this certain tree that I saw. And finding meaning in that tree and finding meaning in that walk, the brisk cold air, the beautiful reflection of the white snow, the clouds moving through the gorge, just stunning views, the quiet houses I'm passing on the road, so nice and peaceful that I get to appreciate this. Thank you, human realm. Thank you, world, for having me in it.